in a series called Making It. We call it Making It because that's me and I'm making it. Okay? That's what it's all about right now. All right? You might not have been to a church before, but man, the preacher preaches about himself. Well, that's where we're at right now. Amen? But I'm not preaching my stuff. I'm preaching the Word of God to me. That's what Gary needs right now, the Word. And I'm finding out you need the Word like I need the Word. Amen? So let's just make it together. Here we go. Sermon today is that's not me because that guy's got hair. You could have put a hat on him or something. You know what I'm saying? Come on, Rod. But don't you look at that picture. You know the guy looks like he's inside of a dumpster, don't he? Look. He might not be in a dumpster, but I told Roger, it sure looks like a garbage dumpster to me. Amen? You ever felt like you're in one of them? Say, at life, or you're living, you know, sometimes. Pain. Title of my message today, say it with me. Making pain my gain. We've always heard no pain, no gain. Amen? But say that with me. Making pain my gain. Okay? Pain happens. Is there some way that this pain can be a gain in my life? And if it can, would you please, please, please tell me how? Amen? That's where we're going today. Don't look at it. One of the craziest stories in the Bible, in the New Testament, most people don't do it and tackle it because it's sort of weird, but it's good. There's some great things we can find inside the story. We're going to unpackage it here in just a second. Would you say this verse with us and let's memorize it? It's easy. For me to live is Christ and to die is... Okay, here we go. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. One more time. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. One more time. For me to live is Christ and to die... Wonder what that verse means. It means, hey, man, as long as I'm alive, I'm living for Jesus, and one day I'm going to die, and that's going to be a reward for me because I'm going to gain heaven and eternity. I'm going to live forever. That's what the verse means. For me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain. Just a scripture I want you to learn this morning up front before we get into our stuff. Here we go, Rog. We're rolling now, buddy. I want you to pull up a chair, and let's talk some pain. Can you roll the chair in for the folks? Yep. Can we do it again? There's more of them than one. Let's find them another chair. Come on, find another chair. How about one more chair for that guy in the back? There we go. Paul talking. The Apostle Paul is going to talk to us today. He says, you want to talk some pain? Pull up a chair. The Apostle Paul. You want to talk some pain? Clark, pull up a chair. Let you and me talk. Let's look at it. Are they ministers of Christ? Paul speaking. I speak as a fool. I'm more than they are. In labors more abundant. In stripes. That's whippings, by the way. Above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. 5 times! I received 39 stripes. On my back. You don't talk pain? Pull up a chair. 3 times was I beaten with rods. You talk about a little ping pong paddle thing. Are you kidding me? Once I was stoned. Stones. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. I'm talking I was out there floating. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now, what's your problem? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, you ever been naked? Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all these crazy churches I started. Paul speaking. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I don't burn inside of me? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows I lie not about what I just told you happened to me, Paul says. You want to know pain? Pull up a chair. Got it? Paul says, you want to talk pain and problems? Say it with me. I've been there. That's what we're going to talk about today. If there's one man who can teach me, it's this man. This man. This man can help me turn my pain into gain. Because this was a mighty man. He said, I fought a good fight. Remember when he died? I finished the course. Say it with me if you know. I kept the faith. Amen? I want to learn from this man today. Making pain my gain. Let's just chime in and see what we can find today. Having your pain and problems disappear probably means you're going to have to what? Die. So I didn't want the pain to go away. Well, die. That's what's going to have to happen. All right? And some of us, when we're in our deep despair, we're willing to die, ain't we? Sure. Well-meaning Christian folk tell us if we just have faith, our pain and our problems will go away. I see that on TV, though. It makes me sick. It's funny how I got to send a little money, too, to make it happen. It sounds good, but it just doesn't always work. You can have as much faith as you want to have, but it doesn't mean your problems are going to go away, your pain's going to go away. As a matter of fact, most of the time, say it with me, it doesn't what? It doesn't. Does that mean God's not God? No. It just means you can pray till the cows come home, but that don't mean the pain that you're going through is going to go away right away. Amen? Say. Okay, and you're just setting yourself up for a big fall when you think like this. Keep looking. In Paul's day, in his culture, there were false apostles that promoted their agendas through their own boasting. And they were leading many people astray. And that's why he went into this little rant that he went into that I just read. Okay? This boasting had caused many to follow incorrect human ideas rather than the truth of God. Okay? And that happens a lot in church today. A lot of churches, they build big crowds because many times they're just not telling the truth. Okay? All right? I can rub something on you, do whatever, and I'm just telling you, it's not going to make the pain go away. Okay? I can smack you in the head. Sorry, you're probably still going to leave crippled. Okay? Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. If I had that power, I hate to tell you this, I'd be at Englewood Hospital every day. I'd be at Venice Hospital every day. I'd be at Port Charlotte every day. If I had this, man, I'd do it. I'd do it. I'd heal these people all the time if I could do it. And I wish these people that say they can do that, I wish they'd go to our hospitals and our places where all these people are sick. Okay? You hearing what I'm telling you? Okay? I don't know why most human beings don't think that way. I know that's ugly, but I'm just telling you. Okay? Doesn't mean I don't believe in healing, but I'm telling you, your pain is going to be with you. How many had some kind of pain for years? I'm not talking about a physical pain. I'm talking about an emotional pain. You've had a pain for years. I wish I could make it go away. But I can't make it go away. Can somehow we help you through the Word take that pain and make it some kind of gain for you to where you're stronger? Amen? That's what we're talking about today. Let's look at it. I know I'm getting a little ugly. So these people are promoting these agendas and this kind of mess in the Bible. It's not new. It's kind of new teaching about this, that, or the other. So not only did Paul one-up them through his listing of his painful and problematic experiences, he now is going to tell them and you and me about an out-of-this-world and even an out-of-his-body experience that he had in chapter 12. Okay? That's where we're headed. So he tells about all his things he's gone through, and now he's going to tell about this story, and he's going to lead us to a place where we can see that pain can work for you, for your good. And I hope I hadn't lost you yet by me ranting. Here we go. He does it in such a way, the story that we're going to hear. He deals with boasting and pain at the same time. He gives us a formula of how pain and problems can actually work for you and me. Okay? No pain, no gain. Where'd that come from? Might have come right from him. You know what I mean? It's incredible. Had a coach friend of mine. He used to say it this way when he would hurt the players. I mean, the players with their tongues would fall on the ground. He would say this. When they were, "Coach, you can't do it anymore," he would say this. "Pain is weakness leaving your body. Pain is weakness leaving your body. I can't run another sprint. Pain is weakness leaving your body." Amen? Isn't that true? The pain that we suffer. How many have suffered such deep pain and you made it through it and you can't believe you made it through it? Can I see your hand? How many said when that pain hits you, "I'm too weak. There's no way I can do this. There is no way I can make it." You ever said that? Say. See there? Pain is weakness leaving your body. It's amazing how strong Jesus Christ can be in your life. Amen? Y'all okay? Y'all alright? I'm talking to you. Hope I'm not losing you. Making pain my gain. You might say, "Pastor, you're preaching somebody else. My life's just rosy." Well, you just sit there and encourage me with an amen or something. Amen? Come on. Here we go. So let's go to the story. 2 Corinthians 12. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory." I don't want to glory or boast. "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Paul is fixing to tell you a story, and me a story, how something happened in his life. It's not about glory. He's going to tell us about a revelation or a vision that he had. He couldn't understand or explain it. He says, "It's not profitable for me to glory, but I want to tell you a story." Can you say that with me? "It's not profitable for me to glory, but I want to tell you a story." So here he goes. Listen to a story. Here we go. Now watch how Paul writes this. He's so careful to not draw attention to himself. It's weird. Because if I got taken to heaven and back, Gary would be all through the story. Gary. Look. "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I can't tell. God knows. Such an one was caught up to the what? Third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into what? Paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Is that a weird story? Or what? Say. Y'all listening? Let's get some facts a little bit on what happened here. The man in the story is who? Okay? He carefully speaks of himself in the third person, not to draw attention to himself. That's one problem I have a lot with Christian TV, and I know I've been bashing that a little bit today. It's funny how Paul, when he writes about things that's happened to him, he won't even mention his name. Today, people, man, they get him something happened to him, they'll get him a TV show. Travel around the country, get him a tent. Are y'all listening? Funny how far we've drifted. Paul was caught up to heaven. That's what he said happened to him. "I was caught up to heaven." That's between you and Paul. I don't know how that happened. Okay? But he said, "This happened to me. I was caught up to heaven and returned to earth." He said, "I don't know if I was in the body, out of the body. I don't know if it's a revelation, a vision, or what, but this really happened to me." Now, no other apostle got a round trip ticket to heaven and then back to earth. You should know that little Bible trivia. If they ever ask you at a Bible trivia game, who went to heaven and back to earth, got a trip, only God ever happened to. Amen? Here we go. So you want to talk about bragging rights. These people in his day were bragging about how they'd suffered for Jesus. And Paul had to slap them down like a dog. That's why he gave that big old long talk earlier. Amen? And he said, you talk about some bragging rights. Not only have you not suffered like me, he says, you ain't traveled to heaven like I am. Amen? But he's not trying to brag. He's not trying to glory. He's trying to help us. The potential for spiritual conceit was unbelievable for him. But Paul determined that God who revealed this to him was the one who would get the what? Credit. He would get the credit. Now hang in here with me. This is a crazy story and a little bit of a crazy sermon. So you got to really pay attention. He keeps going. Of such an one will I glory. God, Jesus. Yet of myself I will not what? But he says something. But in my what? Infirmities, I will glory in that. I will glory in my pain. I will glory in my suffering. That's weird. For though I would desire to glory of this story, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think above me that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. He said, I'm not going to glory about this story. And by the way, what Paul learned through this experience of going to heaven, what he learned, and it's hard for me to even keep all this together because it's sort of complicated in my mind up here this morning, but what he learned from this experience, it showed him more than anything, was his what? His weakness. It's funny how something will happen in our life, some spiritual experience we'll have, and we just glory in that thing, and we put ourselves up. The exact opposite should be true. Paul said, don't put me up because this experience happened in my life. If anything, it showed me who God is and how little I am and how unworthy I am that He loves me, that He cares for me. And it's shown me my weakness. It's shown me how little I am, how weak I am, how puny I am, how much of a nothing I am. Paul speaking. And lest I should be exalted above measure, this story, this thing happened to him. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me, say it with me, a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of who? Satan. To buffet me, lest I should be exalted above. You know what Paul seemed to be saying? This is a little complicated, I know. He started out hammering them with all his bad experiences. Because this thing happened to him about 14 years earlier. And then all those bad experiences started happening. You understand? And he had rather chose, instead of glorying about what happened to him when he went to heaven, he chose to glory rather about how he had been buffeted all those years and had been beaten down like a dog, and he was still standing. You hear me? That's what he gloried in. Go ahead, hit me again. You underestimated my God. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever thought of your pain and problems as the pointed stakes used to pierce your pride? I have. What I've been going through in my life has been the most shameful thing I could ever imagine. Me to have to get up here on Sunday morning and stand before you as a broken man. Me, of all people, couldn't hold my marriage together. But you know what? I can glory in the fact that I'm still here. You know, I'm still standing. You know? So, you know? Praise the Lord. So, and it's a hard message up here this morning. But that's what Paul was saying. I can look back over my life and
say of great stories and great things I've done. But I'm learning. I'd rather glory in my infirmities, because that's where His strength is perfected, in my weakness. Does that make any sense to you? We're about telling big stories about how we did this or that or the other, or we did this, or ooh, 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 ooh. The stories that are meaning more to me nowadays is, can you tell me how you made it? Can you tell me how you were hurting and you made it through it? I'll leave the big old crusade stories. Somebody else can tell those. Just tell me how I can do this, that foot. Can you tell me how you did it? You understand? Paul said, there was given something to me. There was pain given to me so I wouldn't glory in what happened. This revelation that I had took me to heaven and back. And I was a suffering man. But I've learned to glory in my suffering because Christ has been with me all the way. You know what I'm saying? That's Paul talking. Paul talking. Amen? So, I hope you're understanding the message. It's hard. Keep looking. Do you let your pain keep you from being arrogant? Pain has a way of helping you not be arrogant. Did you know that? Yes or no? When you suffer and you hurt and you can't hold the world together, all of a sudden you can't think you do. Amen. Say. Pain has a way of piercing our pride. Pain has a way of helping us not be arrogant, which is a good thing. Got it? Yes or no? That's gain, ain't it? Say. I just got me some gain. Keep looking. Pain and problems are a part of our lives. They always have been. They always will be. Okay? They are messengers of Satan. Pain, suffering, horrible things that happen to you, to happen to me. They're messengers of Satan because he wants to use our pain, which is a natural part of life. As long as you're on planet Earth, you're going to be having pain in your life and trouble. But Satan wants to use that natural part of life and the sin nature and all of that. He wants to use that to thwart God's mission in our life. You understand that, right? Say, amen? See, I've got that clear in my head. Satan wants me to quit. To knock me down. Wants to hurt me. Not that he necessarily orchestrates all the pain in your life. He doesn't. But I guarantee it, any pain in your life, he wants you to just absolutely hate God because of it. He wants you to get angry, bitter. He wants you to quit. He wants you to go out and get drunk, have sex with wild women. That's what he wants for your life. You got it? Yes or no? Oh, yeah. That was to the fellas. Sorry. I often feel like I'm just talking to men anyway. I'm sorry about that. I don't know. That's why so often we get mad at God for our pain. Because that's what Satan wants us to do, and we're bent that way anyway. That's why false doctrines arise, saying the Christian is not supposed to have any pain. Any pastor that comes to you or television preacher that tells you that you're not supposed to have any pain in your life is a fool. One day, you're going to be delivered. One day, you'll have no more pain. That's what the book of Revelation says. No more tears, no more night, no more pain. It says it there. It doesn't say it here. You understand that? But it makes for good preaching. This kind of preaching, you can't wait to run out the door. I know. Okay? They teach this because the pain is gone. I can glory in the Lord. Amen. A good God doesn't want us to have pain. That's true. A good God doesn't want us to have pain, but a good God also wouldn't send His Son to die for us if there wasn't pain. Amen? We're sinners. We're on a sin-cursed earth. That's where pain lives. Okay? It's not about Him being a good God. He's good all the time. It still happens. Wouldn't our health and even our wealth be a better reflection for the glory of God? That's what many false doctrines teach. I don't know about that. I don't know about that at all. I don't know if maybe a better reflection of the glory of God might be somebody that's suffering and hurting and chooses to follow Christ anyway. Now, to everybody's got their act together, maybe that other is good. But to most people on this planet, we don't have our act together. We're hurting. We need to see living proof and shoe leather of people who struggle. And that's what I've got out of you people. That's what you've been to me. You've been my Psalm 23, my cup runs over. Because you've shared your stories with me. Beautiful lady sits third row back, first service, right here. She wrote me a letter. She said, when I got married, we were married and it wasn't working. My husband was a homosexual. Killed me. And she went on her letter to tell me how she met someone. She gave his name. And she said, I had 31 years of perfect love. She's trying to encourage me. And she said, Jesus took him home last year, but I'll see him again. And she says, until then, I'll be sitting there, third row, right-hand side, still smiling. Do you think that lady's pain helped the preacher, yes or no? Absolutely. I'm all for everybody's life being perfect. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to be. And it's a false doctrine that teaches that it is. You hearing me? And if you came here thinking that's what I preach, well, you're probably not going to like me now. Here we go. I guess pain and problems challenge us into maturing and being more like Jesus. I guess that's what they're about. Huh? Say. Isn't that what pain can be used for? Say. Maturing us. Making us more like Jesus. Well, how was Jesus? He had the perfect life. He never suffered anything, right? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a what? Servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself. He became obedient to what? Death! Even the death of the what? Cross! Now my Bible tells me that's who I'm supposed to be like. Now that might not preach too good. But that's what the Bible says. Amen? Yes or no? That you're going to have some pain, and you're going to have a cross, and you're going to carry the cross. It's going to happen. And Paul did a beautiful thing. He could have spent his whole life going around having a ministry telling about his story. How I went to heaven, how I went to heaven, how I went to heaven, how I went to heaven. But he chose rather to not do that, but glory in his infirmities for Christ. That he counts me worthy to suffer for him. Now that's a man right there, ain't it? Say, whoa, that's a man right there, brother. Paul prayed 3 times for his pressure to be removed. He didn't like pain. I don't like pain. You don't like pain, do you? Say, how many prayed for your pain to be removed? Amen? How many prayed for your pain to be removed and didn't get removed? Can I see your hand? That's what I'm talking about. See, it means you're not spiritual. You're just not connecting. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means your pain hadn't been removed. You got to deal with it. That's an awful message, ain't it? But he's given us his Holy Spirit, and he's given us the Word of God, and he's given us other believers to help us deal with it. Amen? Keep looking. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And 3 times God said, say it with me, no, no, no. Can we do it again? No, no, no. Can't believe you said that. Have it one more time. No, no, no. Has God always got to be a yes God to you? Or do you always need to be a yes person to God? It's funny how we flip that thing, isn't it?
You need to be yes, God, yes, God, yes, God.
No, you need to be yes, boy, yes, boy, yes, boy. And yes, sir. Amen? We get it flipped. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. God speaking. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities then, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When Paul understood that his pain wasn't going away, but that God's grace would be there for him, and that his strength would be perfected in his weakness, he would become mature because of his pain. Paul said, wow, sign me up then. Sign me up. If that means what it takes for me to be more like you. That's a hard prayer to pray, ain't it? Wow. Why no? Why no? Because that's how you make pain your game. If God took all the pain out of your life and my life, we'd be a bunch of soft wimps, wouldn't we say? How many of you had somebody in your life that was a strong figure in your life, and they helped you become a strong person? Can I see your hand? Oh, yeah. How many had a little wimp in your life, let you get by with murder and everything you did, never corrected you, never anything, you became a great leader? Maybe one in the room. Amen? Pain can be your gain, man. It can help you. So often pain and problems can create a building pressure for us to depend on God. PSI, pain per square inch. That's what that means for me. And I got a lot of square inches. Amen? Pain reveals our weakness. It roots us in a deeper relationship with God. Through this struggle, I've had many struggles in my life. But through this struggle I'm living through now, it has revealed weakness in my life. Pressure. You blow something up sometime, you'll find it's got a leak. Put enough air in it. And the Lord's used this thing in my life to show me I got some leaks. You hearing me? He says, my grace is sufficient. Would you say that this morning? My grace is sufficient. One more time. Somebody should hear that next to you. My grace is sufficient. My question to you is it? My question to me is your grace sufficient for me? My strength is perfected in your weakness, God says. My question is it? Is it? Is your strength perfected in my weakness? How about you? I want it to be. Do you have to come up with a new doctrine to do away with the pain and the problems? Amen. If you're waiting for me to get one of them robes and one of them things and smack you on the head, it ain't happening. Sorry. If I could make your pain go away, I'd do it for a full-time job. I'll tell you that right now. I just can't do it. I can try to help you through it, though. Amen? Try to help you through it. Help you walk. That's God's plan, I believe, for my life. Paul realized God would give him grace. Paul realized God would give him strength. When Paul realized God would give him the power to press on, when he reached the end of himself, he tapped into something we all need to tap into. When he realized God would give him grace and would give him strength and would perfect him in his trials and his problems and mature him, he tapped into something. It was only then that he tapped into it. Whoa! It's only God. Wow. It's all because of Him. Listen. Nothing can happen to me that doesn't first come through His fingers, through His hands. He's got me. As long as He's with me, I can make it. That's what Paul was saying. Y'all listening this morning or not? You look like you're looking at like a monkey on stage. We at the zoo. The circus. Making pain my gain. We're almost done, Rog. We're rolling to the end. Here we go. The guy disappears. Look. Look. pain doesn't go away, but time marches on. Don't. The people say time is a what? Healer. I don't know about that. But I know over time, God's with me. And it proves to me I can make it another day. Because I made it yesterday. And then I made it that day before. And then I made it that day before. So I don't know if time is a healer. I think God's a healer. Amen? But time is part of it. Amen? Some of y'all are breathing deep like you know what I'm talking about. Amen? He turned pain into gladness. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul speaking, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. His gladness produced contentment. Therefore, I take pleasure now in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for who? Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Crazy verses like that. He said, I'm content with infirmities. That's sickness and weakness. I'm content with reproaches. That's insults when people insult me, Paul says. I'm content with necessities, the difficulties of life. I found that I can take those, and I'm content with them. He said, I'm content with persecutions when people mistreat me, Paul says. I'm content with distresses and the pressures of life. I'm content. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He preaches like a crazy man, don't he? He said, I'm content. Paul wrote a book called 1 Timothy. It was sort of the swan song of his life. He's writing to the young man Timothy, and it's about all over now. He's going to be checking out of here real soon, going to see Jesus. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Paul tells Timothy, from such withdraw yourself. People that telling you the more you get, the more godly, the more God, you know, that kind of prosperity. He says, withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment, say it with me, is great. One more time. Godliness with is great. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But thou, O man of God, Timothy, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life where you've been called. You professed a good profession before many witnesses. Can you hear the old man? I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor, power, everlasting. Amen. You feel the man's passion? Making pain my gain. Can you understand Paul's verse now a little better that we started with? For me to live is what? One more time. For me to live is what? One more time. For me to live is what? And to die is gain. I believe my mother's last words when my stepdad held a .357 Magnum to her face. I believe my mother's last words were, you can't threaten me with heaven. I believe those are the kind of words Paul lived by. When he was being beaten, You kidding me?
That was it? That's a strong man. Let's stand together.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning as we stand? Tough message today. Sorry for the perhaps a little bit of extra pain I caused you today because of my own struggle. But lately I've been trying to crawl inside the message and preach out of the message, not preach down to you. And sometimes when you preach like that, it's a little ugly. It's not why we come to church and what we want to see. But that's life. Father, I pray you'll take the word today. Complicated passage, Lord, from my country mind. And I pray today, by your Spirit, some sense can be made of it in the folks' personal lives today, Father. Father, I got it myself. I got what was on the screen and what was being said today. But for somebody that didn't quite get it, I pray you'll give them that little extra help so they can understand your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Just sing just the chorus. How great.